Let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. In these verses, we have Paul's final charge to Timothy to be faithful and preach the word, even though people would turn away from the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. All right, what are a few background notes? One way to state the theme of 2 Timothy would be faithfulness in the midst of fire and failure. When Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy, the Roman persecutions upon the church had already begun. Emperor Nero had blamed the Christians for the great fire in Rome in AD 64. 2 Timothy was written in AD 66 or 67. Furthermore, when Paul wrote this letter, already false teaching was beginning to circulate wherever Christianity had spread. And some of those who had once embraced the Christian faith were beginning to fall away. So Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to encourage him to be faithful in the midst of fire and failure. In this letter, Paul informed Timothy that conditions were not going to get better. In fact, conditions would get worse and worse, particularly in reference to false teaching. Look back, if you will, at chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The letter of 2 Timothy was not just a first century letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy is a book of the Bible. It is scripture. It is the word of God to us today. So we too must be faithful in the midst of fire and failure. And that challenge then really brings us to our first doctrinal point. The faithful Christian preaches the word. The faithful Christian preaches the word. Verse 2, we see that charge, preach the word. This is not only a command to Timothy, it's a command to me. It's a command to you. It's the word of God to us. What does it mean to preach the word? Does this mean that you have to be full-time in the ministry? No, this command is for all of us. The rest of the verse explains what it means to preach the word. We should be ready in season and out of season to share the word with non-believers. That is, we should be ready to evangelize and share the word with people on all occasions, not just when we feel like it, or not just when the opportunity is ripe. We don't keep office hours or punch the clock when it comes to sharing the word. I remember sitting next to a guy on a plane not too long ago. I was doing some leisurely reading and enjoying it. He was just sitting there. Well, I knew I should witness to him, but I didn't feel like it. You ever have those situations where you don't feel like witnessing? That was an out-of-season time, if you will. So what are you doing on occasions like that? You force yourself to witness in season and out of season. So I finally put away my book and began to talk with him and looked for an opportunity to share the word, preach the word. And the Lord graciously provided that opportunity. Besides sharing the word with unbelievers, we need to preach the word to believers. Look again there at verse 2. Preaching the word should always be done with patience or long-suffering and instruction. What are we to do with believers in reference to preaching the word? Some believers need correcting. Some believers need rebuking. Some believers need encouraging and exhorting. Again, I say it should always be done, as we see here in verse 2, with patience or long-suffering and instruction. This is not always easy, especially when your fellow believers don't want to listen. Not long ago, I had to rebuke a former student of mine who was filing for an unbiblical divorce. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. He did not want to listen to the word. But regardless of that, you preach the word. The faithful Christian preaches the word. You know, in verse 1, there are a few motivating factors given to encourage us to faithfully preach the word. Let me read verse 1 again. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. So we have some motivating factors here to encourage us to faithfully preach the word. There's the fact that our lives will be reviewed. The Lord Jesus will judge the living and the dead. The living here are the saved. The dead here are the damned. The dead are judged at the great white throne judgment and consigned to hell because they did not believe God. Revelation chapter 20. The living or the saved will not be judged as to salvation, as to heaven or hell. That's settled. If you're a Christian here this morning, you've trusted Christ, you have salvation. But our lives will be reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14, which is addressed to Christians. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Do you have your account ready when your life will be reviewed as a Christian before the judgment seat of Christ? The judgment seat of Christ should motivate us to preach the word. Another motivating factor for us to be faithful and preach the word is the Lord's appearing and his kingdom. The Lord Jesus is returning to this earth to set up his kingdom here on earth, and Christians are going to reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Our place and reward in the kingdom of Christ here on earth is determined by how faithful we are now. This fact should motivate us to be faithful and preach the word. The faithful Christian preaches the word. Doctrinal point number 2. The faithful Christian endures sound doctrine. The faithful Christian endures sound doctrine. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Sound doctrine is not always pleasant. It's not always easy to believe, but it must be endured. For example, the doctrine of hell is not a pleasant doctrine. It's not a doctrine that's easy to believe. The truth that unbelievers will be lost forever is not pleasant to think about. The fact that friends, your friends, and your relatives are going to eternal punishment if they haven't trusted Christ as their Savior is not easy to believe. The doctrine of hell is not pleasant, but it must be endured. And we read here that some will not endure sound doctrine. They have itching ears and turn away from the truth. They hear what they want to hear. They hire preachers or go to preachers that preach what they want to hear. Like the people of Isaiah's day, they say, "Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. We want to hear pleasant things. Even if it means illusion." Like the people of Isaiah's day, there are people like that today. Those who call themselves Christians, but they have turned away from the truth. They do not endure sound doctrine. They even turn aside, as the scripture says here, to myths or fables, like there is no hell. The unbeliever merely ceases to exist. Well, you can't find that in the Bible. That's false teaching. You see, whether it's pleasant or not, we must believe in hell because that's what the Bible teaches. The faithful Christian endures sound doctrine. Let's move to practical application. Practical application number 1, beware of the itching ear syndrome. You know, at this point, we may say that We're sound in doctrine, and nothing can shake us or tickle our ears. We'll endure sound doctrine. Well, beware of the itching ear syndrome. Within human nature, there is a tendency to always move in the direction of what's the latest, or the easiest to believe, or the most exciting, or politically correct. Beware of the itching ear syndrome. The idea that there is no hell appeals to the itching ear. The idea that man is basically good and not a sinner appeals to the itching ear. The idea that there is no role distinction between men and women, that appeals to the itching ear. These ear ticklers are not in the Bible, but they are easier to listen to because they appeal to the itching ear. And no Christian is invulnerable. Beware of the itching ear syndrome. Practical application number two. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity to witness. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity to witness. Verse 2 once again. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Why shouldn't we wait for the perfect opportunity to witness? It will never come. There's always something that's not quite right. I don't quite have the time right now. My neighbor doesn't seem quite ready yet. There's too much noise and interruptions at work to witness to my boss. Opportunities abound, but none is ever the 100% perfect opportunity. Even the in-season times could always be a little bit better from our perspective. But the command is, even in out-of-season times, we should be ready to preach the word. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity to witness, because it just never arrives. I remember some years ago witnessing to a business contact that I had just met. It was really an out-of-season time. It certainly wasn't a perfect opportunity. However, the weather happened to be perfect that day, and so I said to him, "You know, how could anybody on a beautiful day like this not believe in God?" Well, that led to a long discussion concerning the Lord and the Scriptures. From God's perspective, it was perfect timing. You know why? Unbelievers are always in season. But from my perspective, it was not the perfect opportunity. But we are to be ready out of season. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity to witness.